Well, hold your papers up high. Forget all your worries.
Good morning and welcome to Voices in the Valley, where we celebrate the creative spirit and nurture the art of storytelling. My name is Steph, and I have a student co-host here today named Will from Stillwater Area High School. Welcome, Will.
Good to be here.
It's good to have you here. Today, Will, it is all about music. We have David Harlan joining us. He is a fingerstyle guitarist, singer, and songwriter. And I guess, you know, Will, before we get started with David, I have to ask you, are you a musician? Do you play music? Do you listen to music? What are your thoughts on music?
Well, I am not a musician, though I'd like to be. Who doesn't like music? You know, listen to rock, classic rock, a lot of new stuff. So, yeah, enjoy music.
Well, it's good to have you on the show here today. It is the last Saturday of every month here on Voices in the Valley. And on the last Saturday every month, we will be featuring a artist or group of artists. And so, David Harlan, it is really, truly a delight to have you here today to join us. You are, in a way, as I said before we started airing the show, you're sort of our guinea pig here because this is our first time out of the studio of KLBB. We are still recording the show for KLBB. Voices in the Valley airs every Saturday on the station. But we are now going multi-platform. We have a fantastic crew of students from local high schools, including Maddie and Maddie from Stillwater Area High School's Cutaway Productions. They are seniors at Stillwater Area High School. And then we also have Nathan. He is running our third camera. He is a senior at Matamidi High School. And then Katie from Cutaway Productions is our editor. So she will hopefully make us all look good.
Very
so we
nice.
All want to be really nice and good to Katie. So when you see Katie in the hallway, you make sure that you say, hey, Katie, you're awesome and we love you.
I'll make sure to give her a thumbs up.
Yeah. Would you please? And tell her I totally want a brown nose, you know, so that she, you know, does good things for
That's
us.
Right.
So it's very fun to be able to do that. And that means that not only are we on the radio, but we are also on a YouTube channel.
Cool.
A Voices in the Valley YouTube channel, which means that radio listeners, if you go to YouTube, you would be able to see David CD that I'm holding in my hand right now. It says David Harlan, 1,000 mile. Oh gosh, you know what? I can't see because I'm not.
1,000 mile search.
1,000 mile search. And true confession, I need readers. But it's a lovely CD. I love the artist who put together the CD for you. Tell me a little bit about the CD.
That was done about 6 years ago now. I recorded it at a studio in Minneapolis called The Terrarium, which is probably about the best studio in the Midwest, perhaps. Definitely in Minnesota. Really great room. So we did it over the course of about 3 days. So it was just like 12-hour days, just plow through and record it all. And it's just all solo guitar. There's nothing but instrumental guitar, no overdubs. It's just one thing, you know?
Well, tell me about the title. Why the title?
Well, I spent a lot of time around this time that I did it, traveling between here and a town in the mountains of Western North Carolina called Asheville.
Okay.
So I was traveling back and forth, and it's a really cool artsy town in the mountains, and I got some friends there, and it's a really inspiring environment. And at any rate, it's about 1,000-mile trip. And so, I don't know, there was a lot of back and forth between those things and kind of exploring and soul-searching on what I wanted to do musically next, and that's kind of how all this came about.
Well, tell me about your musical journey. How did it begin? Did you start when you were a child? Did you start at a later age?
Yeah.
What began the process for
you? Yeah, I started playing bass guitar, actually, when I was 12.
Oh, wow. That's young.
Yeah. I was in seventh grade, and I learned to play a few rock songs. And by eighth grade, me and my buddies had a band, and we were doing the whole thing and playing all kinds of gigs at like school dances and things like that. And eventually, like by the time we were juniors in high school, we were like playing bars and stuff. And
oh wow!
Just not telling anyone.
Did you get the big X? You know,
well,
now
they just
you get the big X
because we were in the band, so they just assume we must be in our 20s or something. But little did they know we were 17 years old or so.
Is this your first and only CD? Do you have others that you're
produced? I mean, I have stuff from quite a few years earlier that's in a whole different, back in my rock days. You know, we made a couple records and now it's more kind of hard rock, more in line with like classic hard rock kind of stuff. And from there, I kind of evolved into, you know, I was the main songwriter in those bands. So I really got into songwriting. That was my thing, was being a singer-songwriter, which the acoustic guitar became a lot better fit for that than being a bass player. because I could just sit home and write songs on my guitar. And once I started doing that, I started learning of some different like instrumental acoustic guitar players, and I just got totally sucked in. Like, oh my gosh, I am all about this. This is my thing. This is what I want to do. And that, I mean, that goes back to like the mid to later 90s that I really started getting passionate about acoustic guitar stuff. But, you know, it was around then too that I also got married and had a child. And
that
so
makes
a lot
a big
of,
difference.
So a lot of it was kind of like I was doing stuff, but I was performing here and there, but
yeah,
it was pretty backburnered.
Yeah.
But I kept just working the craft and doing my thing, and eventually, you know, just started perform a lot.
Well, I've read that you've called music a prescription for the soul. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, that wasn't my coining of a phrase, but I think in some review somewhere someone said something like that about, I think it was referring to some of my more, you know, intimate, mm-hmm. softer pieces that are kind of more introspective sounding and whatever. So, but I like it.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Well, and speaking of reviews, there was one that I found online that I really particularly liked, because I must admit I did creep on you. And,
oh,
you know,
good.
I mean, if you're a musician, you have to expect, or a performer, that people are going to go online.
Well, that's kind of the point of a website,
exactly.
Right?
If you're a performer, you perform not only here, but online and live and any place else where you can get a set of eyes and ears to listen to you. But it was a really great comment that they did. And it was from Michael Jarris from Guitar Review. He said that your music was smooth, relaxing, like watching waves at the beach with a thunderstorm brewing in the background.
Nice.
Yeah, I know. I thought, well, that's great. And, you know, later in the show, we're going to listen to some of the songs that you play, and I think we'll be able to see and hear why he may have said that. But for now, before we get into playing music, tell me about an accident that happened just over a year ago that put your music into jeopardy.
Yeah, big time. Yeah, so last November 30th, so just a little over a year ago, this is a weird story to tell for me because I don't really share it very much.
Oh, thank
you. No, but it's all good. So it was the first major snowfall.
Okay.
It wasn't even that major, but there was a little snow. So I snow blow in my driveway. And it was like a really wet snow that was packing up the snowblower. And I was wearing these big, like, mittens that come all up, you know. So they're all baggy and dangling. Whatever, like, I went to scoop some snow out of the little chute thing.
Yep.
And somehow something caught and yanked my hand into the snowblower.
Oh, my goodness.
And literally I cut off the tip of my middle finger on my guitar hand.
Oh, my goodness.
Rendering it, like, useless. I mean, I looked down and it was just gone. And I, you know, was freaking out. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm done. I'm never gonna. How am I ever gonna play guitar again?
Yeah.
It was really traumatic. Like, it's weird. Like, now I can kind of like, it doesn't. I don't think much about it. It just is. It's annoying now, but it's like at the moment, it was like, wow, I'm totally done here.
Yeah. So, what was the recovery process? I mean, clearly you're sitting here and you're gonna be playing.
I mean,
for
I
us.
Think. I mean, it was really dark and depressing. But I mean, literally within a day or two, I mean, I think I picked up might have even been the very next day after the accident, my hands all bandaged up, and I think these two fingers were kind of exposed. And, and I, you know, I picked it up and I like was playing a little thing with just like two fingers, like, okay, well, maybe I can still be a singer-songwriter and just play simple stuff. I won't be able to do my instrumental things. But then I think it was within like a week or two, I was like starting to play my instrumental pieces that are a little more challenging. And I was pretty much within like 2 weeks, I think I played through my hardest piece.
Within 2 weeks, did you say?
Yeah. However, I mean, it sounded horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, it was bad.
Okay.
But I was like, okay, that's brilliant. But okay. I remember one night playing this one piece, and it was later at night, you know, right before I was going to bed and played it. I went to bed and I was just like sky high, like, yes, I'm going to be able to do this thing. So, you know, at least I was, I was feeling hopeful. I'm like, wow, there's hope here.
Yeah.
So, at any rate, I just kept working it. And
the muscles just learned to compensate?
Yeah. I mean, it was a lot of muscle memory stuff. Because basically now, when I play, anything where this finger was being used.
Yep.
You know, if I was using these two fingers, now I have to use these two fingers. So anywhere where this finger was used, I have to use one of these two instead.
So all right.
You essentially had to relearn how to play guitar.
That would be way too strong of a statement.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't give myself that much credit.
Sounds good though.
Yeah, I would. But but there was a lot of times where I'd go to play and I would like, okay, and you have to think through the piece instead of just playing it, which made it not as musical because you're thinking too much.
Right.
But, you know, I'd go to play, and I have to think, oh, I have to come down with this finger, not that finger.
Right.
And so at times, and if I didn't think, occasionally I would slap my wounded finger down onto the guitar, which is really painful.
Yeah, I was going to say that had to
hurt. Even now, it occasionally rarely happens, but occasionally it does, and it's just all kinds of weird bundles
of
nerves,
still. So for the listening audience that's listening on the radio, it's David's middle finger that lost the tip, and he was showing us how he has compensated with his other fingers, and if you go on to YouTube, of course, to Voices in the Valley, you can see it. Was there a song that came out of that period of time that you wrote?
There's been some new pieces. I wouldn't say anything particularly was inspired by it. It was just like, you know, just working on new music like I always did. And there's been a few new songs that have come about. Yeah.
Could you play a little bit of one of those songs?
Oh, you want to?
Okay, yeah, absolutely. We've got your guitar and you're here.
I'll just play a piece of one. This was one of the first instrumental pieces I wrote once I got back going on it. So.
Wow.
I mean, that's just a tiny little segment of it.
Well, and we are going to hear more music from you in the second half of our show. Stay tuned now for our mid-program highlight with Tony DiMaggio of Sacred Blossom Farm. We're going to hear about him, listen to a St. Croix Valley Outreach news report, and then after a short sponsorship break, come on back and listen to more music by David Harland. Thank you, David.
Thank you.
This is Steph here on Voices in the Valley, and it's time for our mid-program break. We have Tony DiMaggio here with us from Sacred Blossom Farm, 60 acres of pure heaven out in Amish country, Wisconsin. Is that right, Tony?
That's right.
Well, it's great to have you on Voices in the Valley. Thanks for coming.
I'm thrilled to be here. They've never let me on the radio before.
So tell me, you have an organic farm that raises tea herbs. When I think of organic farms, I always think about vegetables and fruit. So tell me, why tea?
Well, I got started at Natura Farms here a little bit north of Stillwater under Paul Ott, and I worked there for 6 years. And I love growing vegetables. I love the work, and that's kind of why I'm still doing it. Trying to find a little niche where maybe I can make a little bit more money, pay for the kids to go to college one day.
Well, good luck with that. So what makes your tea herbs different?
So Paul taught me it's all about farming for health. And what I learned on working on herb farms in different parts of the country is you see a 4-acre block of echinacea. It's all one type of plant, but the herbs that herbalists prefer are the ones that come from nature, the ones that come from mixed plantings, because they're more potent. So I grow all my herbs in a big polyculture, and I think that's going to make for a lot better herbs in the long run. And then all the herbs that you get in herbal teas from everywhere else, they're all imported from Bulgaria and Croatia and everywhere else. And they come into the country, they get irradiated. Sometimes they're several years old by the time you get them. And what I've got is grown right across the river, and it's really good, really fresh stuff.
Well, tell me where you're at with all of it. I know you've got a Kickstarter campaign. What's going on with that?
So I got my farm started last year, grew 1,200 pounds of beautiful dry destemmed herbs. They're really good, blended recipe after recipe, get my teas just right, hundreds of iterations. So I've got it all squared away. Now I just need to get the packaging to put my teas into. And the minimum order on the packaging is really high. So I'm running a Kickstarter, goes till February 26th. Help me get the packaging I need to get my teas into the local grocery co-ops.
And then we also get the tea if we help you with your Kickstarter.
That's
is that right.
right? That's right. It's pre-sales, and it's actually cheaper on the Kickstarter than it will be anywhere else.
All right. Well, how do I find out more?
SacredBlossomFarm.com.
SacredBlossomFarm.com. Tony DiMaggio, thank you very much.
Thank you, Stephanie.
This is Heather Rutledge, Executive Director of ArtReach St. Croix, reporting on art news for Voices in the Valley. Spring is springing, and it's time to nurture a new interest. March's Art News is all about clearing out the cobwebs and renewing brain cells. Growth is all around the St. Croix Valley. Be inspired. This month starts with a day-long green skills sampler March 4th. A $10 fee includes 4 classes and a continental breakfast. Drop-in yoga is followed by classes on fermentation, bicycle repair, edible landscapes, green renovations, and more. Register online at the River Falls Community Education website. Learn something while watching a lovable group of bumbling misfits. In Stepping Out, a tap dance class led by a former pro comes to realize it's not about success or failure. It's about having courage and having fun. This comedy stomps, stamps, and hops on stage March 17th to April 2nd at the Phipps Center for the Arts. Another great option at the Phipps is Experiencing Clay, a class for those who are interested in getting their hands dirty but are not ready to fully commit. In this ceramic sampler, teen and adult students try wheel throwing and hand building March 7th to 21st. Find the Falcons as part of NEA Big Read in the St. Croix Valley. Three local artists, Barb Bend, Al Hahn, and James Shoup, were inspired by the common book, The Maltese Falcon, and this collection of specially commissioned sculptures will be at the Osceola Public Library on March 6th, touring next to Hudson Area Public Library on March 13th, then to Amory, Bayport, Stillwater, New Richmond, St. Croix Falls, Hastings, and River Falls. As always, you can find out about these and other events on stcroixsplash.org, the St. Croix Valley's online event calendar. This has been Heather Rutledge bringing you the art news. Tune in to Voices in the Valley Saturdays at 10 a.m. on KLBB 1220 a.m. And don't miss hashtag Hush Podcast, which airs on the first Saturday of every month.
This is Steph from Voices in the Valley, and I am reporting live from Simply Chic here with the owner, Joan. Joan is a member of the IBA here in Stillwater, Minnesota, and they have a really fun event coming up called Ladies Night Out. Joan, tell me more about that.
Well, Ladies Night Out is sponsored through the Business Alliance of Downtown Stillwater, and it's held four times a year, and the first one of the season is coming up on March 9th, and the beginning is at the Brick Alley entrance, and the finale will be down at Pub 112.
So tell me, if I come for the beginning and end at the finale, what am I going to experience? What can I expect?
Each person that is part of Ladies Night Out will have balloons in front of their shop. And for every $10 that they spend, they will get a raffle ticket to turn in at the end. So if they spend $100 at a shop, they get 10 tickets. And each of the sponsors down here will donate door prizes, and we have drawings at the end, and the biggest door prize of the night is a $100 gift card.
Wow. And in addition, I have heard rumor that there is oftentimes some goodies and treats along the way with wine and maybe some other decadent yummy things to enjoy.
There is. Each shop will have a special running that night. Other shops will have treats and wine. Some will have their own door prizes that you can sign up for. So yeah, it's a lot of fun. And the bars and restaurants, whoever participates, may have a drink special, an appetizer special. So yeah, it's a lot of fun. Each year it keeps getting bigger and bigger with us.
It sounds fantastic. If I want more information, where would I find it?
On Facebook at Stillwater Ladies Night Out.
The date again is?
Thursday, March 9th at 5 o'clock, and the ending's at 8:30 at Pub 112.
5 to 8:30, March 9th. It's a Thursday. Come on out and enjoy Ladies Night Out. Thanks, Joan.
Thank you.
Back in the day, food was more genuine somehow. It still is at Wayback Burgers. We use only fresh, authentic ingredients with made-to-order burgers and creamy hand-dipped milkshakes. At Wayback, things are as they were, only better. Taste freshness, America. Wayback Burgers.
Wayback Burgers now delivers through DoorDash. That's right. Wayback's fresh, authentic ingredients prepared and delivered to you at home through DoorDash. Wayback Burgers in Woodbury. Taste freshness, America.
I was 9 weeks along and didn't know what else to do.
I felt helpless and I didn't want to leave it up to her, but I didn't know what to do or say.
I didn't know there were other options available.
I didn't know it was a baby with a beating heart at 18 days.
Hello, my name is Marian Koharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America, the billboard people. So often we get calls just like this from men and women seeking help and alternatives. Our 800 hotline connects callers to the services they need for pregnancy, adoption, as well as post-abortion assistance. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of confidential counseling or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please call 1-800-366-7773 or check us out on the web, ProLifeAcrossAmerica.org. Pro-Life Across America is educational, non-political, and tax-deductible.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America, the billboard people. been family owned since 1922, and we still believe that it all starts with you.
It's Chevy Truck Month at Stillwater Motors. Hurry in and lease a new 2017 Chevy 1500 Double Cab Z71 for as low as $276 per month. OAC for 39 months with $3,000 down, 10,000 miles per year. Find new roads with your next vehicle from Stillwater Motors. Redunn's family owned since 1922. Call 651-HEY-CHEV or go to stillwatermotors.com.
This is Steph here on Voices in the Valley, and if you are just tuning in, you have joined us for the second half of our show, where student hosts interview our guests. We've had the privilege today of having Will join us for the entire show, so we're glad to have you doing that, Will. And before I turn the interview over to you, though, I have one more question for David. David, for those out there who might not know, including myself before this interview, can you tell us what fingerstyle guitar playing is?
Yeah, I think the term kind of started maybe 30 years ago or so, but it's basically a broad term for anyone that plays with their fingers instead of a pick.
Okay.
So in incorporating a lot of more intricate stuff with both hands. So, and it's generally referred to, you know, for acoustic guitar players. And it's kind of generically become the term for guys doing instrumental acoustic guitar music.
It's pretty amazing what you can do. And for those who may just be tuning in, David shared earlier in the show about an accident that took the tip off of his middle finger and how you really had to just persevere and overcome to be able to continue to play.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, and now in the second half of the show, we're going to really enjoy some of the music that you have written and created. And so, Will, I'm going to turn it over to you to ask David some questions and get him to play some music.
All right. Earlier in the first half of the interview, you talked about how you first started out as a bass guitar player.
Correct.
So starting there and moving on to acoustic, you know, what did you find that you could do with the acoustic that you couldn't with the bass, you know, artistically speaking?
Well, just a lot more opportunity for expression, especially solo, playing solo. Because the guitar, especially acoustic guitar, kind of becomes your band, where the bass, you're one little part of it. But here you're playing stuff where you're playing the bass part, you're playing the melody. If you're kind of hitting the guitar at all, you're being the percussion. So it just broadens what you can do quite a bit.
Sure. Yeah.
But needless to say, bass is awesome.
So what musician do you take a lot of influence from?
I mean, there's a few guys out there that you guys probably really haven't heard of, but I mean, there's a guy locally that was a big influence on me named Billy McLaughlin, who was from White Bear Lake, and he plays guitar much like the way I do in ways. Mm-hmm. And so I think seeing him in the 90s, I was like, oh, yeah, I want to learn how to do that. And there's a guy named Michael Hedges, and there's a lot of singer-songwriters who do a lot of finger-picking kind of thing. So there was a lot of different things went into it, and it wasn't just guitar players. It was like singers and just melodies.
Sure.
How can I transport that into this little wooden box here? Yeah. So, yeah.
Could you give us an example of that?
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the first pieces I ever wrote, which is on my record, is was definitely probably influenced by some of those guitar players I heard. So what I first came up with wasn't this, but this is kind of an idea of it.
Yeah.
So.
That is beautiful.
Thank you.
You know, talking about making music, you know, composing it. How do you sit down and write music? I mean, what is usually kind of the thought process?
Yeah, I mean, it varies quite a bit, but it's just a lot of, it's kind of like anything, like being a writer. You just got to sit down and put in the time, even if you don't feel like it. So you just sit down and you start wandering and you start playing and see where it goes. And for me, a lot of times, I mean, I might get some melody in my head that just drops from the heavens, and that's really awesome. But that's less common than just having to put in the work, and which is just playing and then stumbling upon. You could be just fiddling around and you stumble on one little couple of things, and like, there we go. That sends you down the path. So it's just logging in time and playing something, trying to basically inspires yourself, and then rolling with it. Yeah,
right.
Yeah. So that's kind of how it works.
Okay.
Yeah, and then you chase that down for sometimes. Sometimes it's happens fast. Otherwise, you're working on that thing for like a year, you know? Mm-hmm. And eventually it comes together. So, yeah.
Yeah, okay. The finger picking, what did you find? How did you develop that style? So you mentioned you listened and kind of thought, that sounds good, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I saw guys doing some of the stuff I'm doing with both hands on the neck and that kind of stuff, which you'll see on the YouTube stuff. So I had some visual and audio reference to that before. It's not like I created that sort of thing. It's definitely been done before, even though a lot of people aren't familiar with it. But, and it's, you know, it also comes, a lot of it comes from, you know, I'm basically playing a bass part on the guitar and then a melody. So there's a lot of my roots as a bass player coming into play as far as how that kind of comes about in my process of my composing, you know? So,
right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if that answered your question, but.
Well, I mean, yeah. It was enough.
Yeah.
And it was an interesting answer.
Yeah. Right. You know, because bass, you don't really use a pick and bass either.
No.
So, you know.
I mean, some people do, but no, I didn't.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So that's interesting that it's kind of coming back to.
Yeah, I like the whole, just feels more connected, you know, like physically, like. Mm-hmm. More human than like putting this thing in between you and the music.
Mm-hmm.
It's more coming straight from, feels more connected to the heart or something. I don't know. You know, it's just that's probably a psychological thing, but
right.
that's how it is for me anyway. Yeah.
Why bass, you know?
I a friend of my mother's was a bass player and he just taught me some songs. I just, when I was a little kid, like how do you play this song?
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, let me show you. And yeah, it just got into it, you know.
So you didn't really have a formal guitar education per se. You didn't have any teachers.
No, I'm pretty much self-taught. I mean, I've had a few lessons later, much after all that.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, no, I haven't had any. I never was disciplined with any form of lessons on guitar or bass, for that matter. I just, you know, just I just loved it enough to just keep working at it, and so yeah, mm-hmm. There you go.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
What is your favorite song to play?
You know, that varies. It's like what's your favorite food to eat?
True.
You know, it's like it's whatever you're in the mood for, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, but I have a couple favorites here and there that I guess I go back to.
Sure. Would you be willing to play as
one? Sure. This one's called Night Driving.
Oh, that is so beautiful.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I just want you to keep playing, which is my question for you. We talked about what gigs you have coming up in the first segment of the show, but tell me more about how we can get this wonderful CD, 1,000 Mile Search, that again, if you were on YouTube right now, you would be able to see.
Go. Well, you can go to davidharlandmusic.com and buy it on there.
Okay.
It's also on iTunes, all the digital outlets, iTunes, on Spotify, and all that kind of stuff. So you can, it's really findable.
Yeah.
And at davidharlandmusic.com, you can find out about any upcoming performances and anything else you might want to know.
So I'm going to say that just a little bit slower so I can make sure that I can spell your last name correctly. So David's pretty easy. I think I can get that. But Harland, H-A-R-L-A-N-D.
Correct.
Music.com is your website.
Yep.
And then, of course, you can find David Harland on all the different directories to download it and buy it there as well.
Yes, indeed.
Well, thank you so much, David, for joining us. And thank you, Will, for leading the interview here on the second half of the show. I wish that we could listen to this music over and over and over again. And if you are listening to the radio show right now, you probably are only hearing snippets of it. So I do recommend and suggest that you do check out the Voices in the Valley YouTube channel in order to hear the full songs that David has played, and definitely go onto his website and check out the music. So thanks for joining us so much here today on Voices in the Valley. Join us every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on KLBB 1220 and find us online at voicesinthevalley.us. I think technically it's voicesinthevalley.us, but I kind of like voicesinthevalley.us a little bit better. Sounds so encompassing and warm and friendly, right?
It's unifying.
It's unifying. I love that. Exactly. .us. And again, David, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it, guys.
It was great to have you on. Next week on Voices in the Valley, we have episode 5 of Hush airing. Ben's babysitting mistake has major consequences, and any camaraderie the four friends might have had shatters. So listen in to the next episode of our sci-fi series, Hush.